Everybody's looking so patient. Today, the message is going to be on hope. A lot of people, they start running out of hope. A lot of people, they forget what hope really is. A lot of us think that hope is just something that we dream of when we're children. But the Lord has shown us many ways to hope. He's given us so many things to hope for. He's given us His promises. He's even told us what heaven is going to look like. And a lot of times when we need to be thinking about the hope that we either once had or we should have, we start letting the things of the world bother us. We start letting the news upset us. And it's so easy because everything on television is so negative. Not too many times do you turn on the television and you hear that people were delivered, people were healed, people are now walking, people are seeking the Lord. That's not the things that you hear. You hear about the tornadoes, the earthquakes, the car wrecks, somebody getting mad and shooting somebody, killing their wife and their father-in-law and their children, and that's the type of things we hear. And anytime we hear this negativity, these horrible disasters, these things that are going on in people's lives, we just need to go back to what we hope for. And we all hope for the same thing. Now, some of us know how to get there and some of us don't. But we all hope to be happy. We all hope that once this life is over, that we're never going to cry, we're never going to have problems, and that we're going to live in a happy place and be able to rejoice every day. And this is what the Lord has promised us. And a lot of times when we look at these scriptures, we look at them in the same way. Today we're going to talk about, in the book of Mark, Mark 4, verse 35 through 40, when the storm comes. And we've all heard this story numerous times where Peter tries to get out of the boat, he walks on the water for a little while, and then he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he falls in the water. Well, there's a lot of background things that are happening there that we're not really thinking about. So, I'm going to start reading from there on verse 35. On that day, when evening came, he said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." See, at that time he'd been talking to the disciples privately and explaining some of his parables. So now, they want to go to the other side of the water, to the Gerasenes is where they're headed. Now, Satan, he already knows what's going to happen. He already knows that Jesus is up to something. And he's just as much involved in this story as Jesus is. Jesus is going to the other side to help a man that's been tormented forever. And see, we all get tested. We all get persecuted before we do anything that's for the Lord. And therefore, these storms arise. And most of these men that are in the boat with Jesus have been fishermen their whole life. But yet they're scared. What kind of storm arose at the last minute that could scare some fishermen? There's not too many. Satan had his hand in this. Satan wanted these disciples to be so scared that they didn't trust God. So the whole time that this is happening and Jesus is asleep, the disciples don't know what to do. They've lost faith. Why? They start looking at the storm that's ahead of them. They look at the trouble. Like we watch the television and we see all this stuff happening and we start, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? You know, what if this happens? What if that happens? There's even a lot of shows like that on the Weather Channel. This could happen. It shows hurricanes and tornadoes and if it hits New York City and, I mean, all these disasters. Anything can happen at any moment. My son Mason heard me speaking to a friend of mine yesterday, and Boy, those little ears, they hear everything. After it's all over, he's like, Daddy, there's supposed to be an earthquake coming in the United States, and it's going to split off three ways. And I'm like, son, you don't have to be worried. I said, as long as we are following Jesus, as long as we are righteous in God's eyes, God is going to protect us. We have no fear. Don't worry. I said, the Lord that we pray to every night is going to protect us. And see, that he understood. After that, his little heart, you know, he was okay after that. He smiled and everything went on as normal. But if we get so wrapped up in the things of the world, the disasters and everything that's happening, we're taking our eyes off the Lord and we're putting our eyes where the devil wants us to put them, on the problems and the issues at hand. So let me continue. So leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And they arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Hush, be still. And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? They became very much afraid and said to one another, Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? See, a lot of things that Jesus was trying to teach these disciples, the devil was overshadowing. The devil was keeping them from knowing the truth. And even though they seen this great miracle, I mean, that's a miracle, they still didn't totally understand. The devil is always there to take away any joy, any happiness, any hope. And he'll do it anytime you allow him to. Anytime. You have to have hope. You have to have hope. And see, Jesus went across and he delivered someone. He helped someone. And the devil was trying his best to stop that. And the Lord knew, but the Lord wasn't moved by what the devil did. As soon as he woke up and they cried out to him, it doesn't say that the Lord thought a minute about what to do, or he was confused, or he prayed to the Father in heaven. He rebuked the water. He rebuked the waves, the wind. He rebuked it. He didn't care what was going on. It didn't move him. He wasn't afraid. Because he knew that it was the devil that was at hand. The devil that was playing games with him. But yet, he was not moved. And we too should not be moved.
Amen.
We have to stay thinking constantly about the Lord. Every time something happens in your life, every time somebody's there to strip away your hope and your dreams, you need to get your eyes on the promises of the Lord and remember that you're a child of God. And you need to try your best to try not to worry about the things that are coming. We are all reminded in the news of the things that are happening. We all know that the season is near. And there are a lot of disasters that are happening out there. And the next disaster that happens, what separates us from the chaos is the Lord. And I'll tell you right now, David Wilkerson, when he had the book, or when he wrote the book, The Vision, in 1974 or 73, I think, and the Lord showed him that there was going to be a horrible earthquake here in America. But before that, the earthquake in Japan would happen, and there would also be an earthquake in the Aleutian Islands, which happened 2 or 3 days ago. It was a 7.2. It's off of Alaska. You don't hear a lot about that. But see, the Lord allows that to come out so the Christians will have a sign, and we will know what's coming next. The Lord always tries to warn his people of the disasters that are coming ahead. The next disaster is an earthquake in the United States that'll split off two different directions. It'll be the biggest earthquake ever known. The whole world will be watching us on television. How are you going to act? Well, when a storm hits, we all act differently. But we all need to know that as soon as anything happens, we need to be on our knees and we need to be telling the Lord that we love Him and we know He's there to protect us. And our families. Our families are going to be watching us. Our families are going to be seeing everything that we do. And their hope, a lot of the times, aren't in the right places. Their hope isn't in Jesus. That's a hope they don't think about very often. But their hope is in you. A lot of times people look to the godly and they know they want what you have. They want to be where you are. But they're struggling all the time. So their first hope in life is to become more like you and to have what you have. So if they see you afraid, and if they see you running, scared, there goes all their hope. It's very important to be right with God. It's very important. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine I was talking to, when my son overheard the message that we were talking about, he was talking about all these things to do to prepare, but I try to remind him the most important thing is to be righteous in God's eyes, is to get right with God and to have that daily relationship with the Lord. Because no matter what happens, the Lord will protect you and the Lord will be there to provide everything you need. You can store your house up all you want with everything you can find, but what if your house gets destroyed? There goes all the stuff you spent all that time and all that money on saving. There's nothing wrong with trying to prepare, but if you try to, like those people, those hoarders you see on television, have you ever seen those shows? The people, they can't even walk in their house because everything they've ever seen, they keep in their house and it's piled everywhere. You know? So if you start hoarding goods, food, and everything else that you can find to a point where it's an obsession, you can lose it all. You can lose it all. Anything that takes your eyes off of God is something that's evil, something that you don't need. And every day there's always somebody out there who's trying to take your eyes off of God. Every day, all the time. There's a man the other day, he was driving a station wagon behind me when I was driving the company truck and I was going to go pick up some supplies or something, and there was all this traffic in front of me. The car in front of me is only one car length ahead of me. This man is so angry and he's riding my bumper. He goes around me, he stares me down, and then he goes, cuts me off, and as soon as he cut me off, he had to come to a complete stop because the car was that close in front of me. All because he wanted to take the next exit. And then, you know, I'm like, oh man, what's he doing? And I have to stomp on my brakes, I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and it's a habit, I honk, right? Like, maybe this guy's asleep, right? Wake up, you know? And the guy flips me off. So I'm just like, oh man. Oh. You know, I just kind of smile. The guy with me, luckily he's calm too, and he's like, well, he must have been in a hurry. I said, I guess so. I said, I hope he doesn't get hurt by somebody. You know, people don't think, especially nowadays, somebody could whip out a gun and shoot you. I mean, there's all sorts of things that can happen to you. And that's why these things shouldn't move you. You can't be moved by what Satan is trying to plan against your life. The Lord has many promises for every one of us, but we have to accept these promises. We have to be willing to accept these promises. We have to let the Lord know that we want these promises that He's promised us. As soon as the Lord knows that you're open to Him, the Lord will start working in your life. But if you just sit back and say, yeah, it's for some people, maybe not for me, you're in a bunch of trouble. Matter of fact, one man at work was saying that as soon as supplies or anything starts running out, he's going to come and get mine or whoever else. He'll take it whether you want him to or not. So we were talking about it. We mentioned that yesterday. And I told that friend of mine, Chris, I said, well, you and I, we just need to be righteous in the Lord's eyes. I said, the other guy, he better go get a bunch of guns. He better start stockpiling because with his attitude, I don't see him going to the Lord anytime soon. And that's the hard-hearted out there. Those people, they need to be worried. Those people need to watch out, because there's going to be a lot of bad things happening. And if they're not having the Lord watch over them, they're in a bunch of trouble. I don't care how many guns you have or what you think you're going to stockpile, you're not going to be able to last forever. Somebody will burn you right out of that house. But here, you know, a lot of people ask, why was Jesus asleep? You know, was he testing the disciples? What was going on here? Of course, this is something we don't know. Maybe Jesus, during the time he was sleeping, maybe he was with the Father in heaven, spiritually. We don't know what was going on. But we do know that they were being tested. And that any of them could have stood up and passed the test. And at any moment, a disaster can strike. Any moment. And it can be the worst thing you've ever seen in your life. And we need to take those knocking knees to the ground and pray to the Lord. The first thing we need to do, that's all the thing you need to remember in your head, is pray to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. And this was even mentioned. Let's go look at Psalm 107, verse 28 through 30. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. So he guided them to their desired haven. All these things that the Lord did are in the Old Testament. All of these things. And right now, there's so many evil and wicked things that are happening. And I give accolades to the man, I don't remember his name, who's leading the Southern Baptist group. They had a meeting, I think it was a couple weeks ago, with a group who were, speaking for the homosexuals and the transgenders and all that, and they wanted the Southern Baptists to apologize. They wanted them to apologize for being against homosexuality. And I read the whole message and everything that that Southern Baptist man said, and it was great. It was perfect. And he said, he looked at them all and he said, brothers, we don't hate you. We love you, but what you're doing is wrong. And if the Lord says it's wrong, it's wrong. And if we're going to start trying to pick the things that the Lord said and make some of them wrong and some of them right, then we can throw away the whole book. And right now, this book is everything that we teach, and this is everything we love. And we're sorry, but you're wrong. It was perfect. And those, you know, they came there with an attitude that we're going to make these people apologize, because right now is the time where the whole world is upside down. People are putting Muslims in their pulpits, and they're trying to act like it's okay, and they're calling it Chrislam for Christian and Islam. But yet we don't have near the same beliefs. Matter of fact, they even write that they should kill all Christians and Jews, but yet you're going to have them stand in your churches and preach to you. So the whole world is turning upside down. And these transgenders and gays, homosexuals, they all thought they were going to make somebody say they're sorry, because it was being broadcast. Wherever it was on the news. They had a cameraman there. See, we all need to be like that. We all need to stand up for what is right.
Amen.
And we all need to have hope, because without hope, everything is lost for us. But have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything he said and everything he's done. For hope is what's going to get you through. As long as you can see that prize, it's much easier to do the things you're supposed to do. And just remember that we're all examples to everyone who's around us. Not everyone is as strong as a Christian as you think they might be. There's a lot of churches out there where people, they haven't even read the Bible, they don't even know what's in it, but they're in church every Sunday. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for everything that he's given us. Praise the Lord for giving us signs and letting us know what is coming next.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for giving us time to prepare. The Lord will never give you too much. When the devil comes in like a flood, the Lord will set up a standard against that flood, against those problems that the devil's trying to put on you. And he will take you out of that trouble. Only thing you have to do is ask.
Amen.
But you have to be righteous in his eyes, which means you have to be repentful. For all the things you've done, you got to be repentful. But once you do that and you become righteous in his eyes, the Lord will be listening to you. But praise the Lord. Matter of fact, let's all just think about the things that the Lord has done for us. Let's think about the good things today, the hope that we have. Be thankful for the Lord, for everything he's done, everything he's going to do, the promises that he did give us. Every promise he's given, if it hasn't come true yet, it will. And all the promises that he gave, most of these men, all these men in the Bible who've perished, they've all come true. Every promise. But let's be thankful for the people in our lives that we have, and the chance that we have to be good examples and to show these people the love of God. And when the time is right, when the time is right, the Lord will knock on the door to those people. And it's up to them to answer the door. You can't open the door for them.
Amen.
But let's be thankful that we're put into a position that we can help people, that we can love people, we can show them the compassion of the Lord, and be in a place that the Lord can use you. Because if you're not right before God, the Lord, he can't use you to do his work. But let's praise the Lord God that he's given us this wisdom. And let's ask him to give us the strength to carry on and do the things that we should be doing. And let's thank him for our families, for our jobs, anything that we have. Let's thank the Lord right now. Just pray to the Lord and thank the Lord for everything that he's done in your life that's been good and everything he's delivered you from.
Thank you for situation.
Because right now we only have one chance. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Lord, we thank you today for everything you've given us. We thank you for the safety that you've given us to come to church. We thank you, Lord God, for letting us all be here, breathing, walking. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us healthy bodies. Lord, you've always given us everything we've needed. Might not be everything we want, Lord God, but you've given us everything we've needed. And we thank you for that, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord.
Oh, Lord, we pray for all those people.
Thank you so much.
That have been hurt in church. That you would bring
thank
them
you,
back.
Jesus.
Bring them back to you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wherever they are.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Bring them back. In the name of Jesus.
You know, how many of us today, if you had the chance to be a star, if you had a chance to be rich and famous, you wouldn't take it. How many people today, if they were offered a scholarship somewhere, if you had to do it all over again, wouldn't accept that scholarship to be a football star, to be a singer, to be something that made you so powerful in the world's eyes? Who today would give that up? You know, a lot of people think, well, then I could buy houses and buy things for my family, and I could do all the things I wanted to do. I don't know anybody in this world that would give up being successful in life. Well, right now we all have one chance to be successful for Jesus. We only have one life. Sometimes we think the days drag on and boy, we're here forever, but it's just a flash in a pan. Before you know it, we'll be deceased. That's one thing. We're all born and we're all going to die. And this life is our chance to be that superstar, to be that superhero to somebody. So don't just sit down and give it up, because every day you have time to think about it. You have more time than needed to sit there and think about what you're going to do with your life. So right now, that scholarship is waiting. And as soon as you receive it, you will be a superstar. You will receive your crown in heaven. So let's all think of it that way. Let's all think of it that way. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And I know everybody's going to have a good day today. We all need to be constantly in prayer, pleading the blood of Jesus on our homes, on our cars. I'll tell you what, my truck right now, it started leaking oil a year ago. And it started off leaking probably half a quart. Every day it was leaking. You could just watch it leak. I didn't have the money to have the engine pulled. It was leaking from underneath. And so I started praying to the Lord. And I even took the car to my son took the car to have the oil changed one day. And they put twice the amount of oil in it. And something told me, the Lord told me 2 days later, check the oil. I checked the oil and I couldn't believe it. Oh my gosh, there's twice as much in here. What is this, you know? So I drained it. So that truck has been through a lot of trouble. Well, you know what? It's not leaking any more oil. It stopped on its own.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Every time I check it, it's right where it needs to be.
Praise God.
That's a miracle.
Amen.
Things start getting wore out and getting old like that, mechanical stuff, it goes. Usually goes pretty quick. But it's been running because I've been asking the Lord, Lord, keep this truck running. I don't have the money to fix it. Help the gas. You know, extend the gas in this truck, because I don't have the money to be paying for gas all the time. None of us do. But the Lord will listen.
Yeah.
The Lord listens. He's there.
Hallelujah.
He's there. I've had problems just the other day. I had another problem, and I said, Lord, you've got to take this off me right now. I can't take any more. And you know what? Within 1 to 2 hours, the problem was gone. That's what I'm talking about. Answering my prayer. And it wasn't something simple. I didn't stub my toe. But the Lord's there. Praise the Lord. So now, it's a good time for prayer. We all need to come together and pray for one another. We all need to do this all the time. And whenever there's a chance for prayer, if it's in your heart, you always come up for prayer. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.